the question that so many people have today is, should I start a podcast? And is it something that I've missed the opportunity, or is the opportunity still out there for me? And that's what we're going to be talking about on today's Speak and Get What You Want podcast with the great Adam Scheibele. Adam, great to be with you.
I'm excited to be here, man. I'm really excited about this topic. Just with my experience in the industry, I want to shed a little bit of light on it. Maybe pull a few more podcasters, getting a few pod pals into the fold, man.
Right. Yeah, well, talk about experience, Adam. You and I are talking around 1,400 podcasts.
Yeah. All my different shows combined. I started off with the health show, evolved into a business show that I have now, Podcasting Business School. And yeah, a lot of episodes under the belt every single week, at least one episode since 2015. So a lot.
That is amazing. And I know a lot of people have had that question in their mind. Do I do a podcast? Is this something that I should spend my time? Is it even worth the time? And to that, what do you say, Adam?
Well, we have to look at it a couple different routes here, Chad. One would be the saturation myth of we all know a lot of people that have podcasts. And if you're on social media, you like every day, like, launched a podcast. I just launched my podcast today. You hear that a lot. And your uncle and your friend from elementary school and, you know, one of your grandparents has a podcast. And so, like, everybody has a podcast. But here are the stats, man. Like, this is what we know to be true. There have been about 6 million launched, 6 million podcasts launched. And even if every single one of those was active, that's still minuscule compared to YouTube channels, newsletters, blogs, social media, active social media users. So, like, even if every single one was like cranking out content, but here's the truth: out of that 6 million podcasts that have been launched, less than 10% have more than 10 episodes and have released anything in the last 90 days. So we're talking about a 500,000 active podcasters, around a little bit over half a million. So about less than 600,000 active, more than 10 episodes, any content and all in the last 90 days. So it is not saturated.
It's wow. That is wide open. I mean, that's an incredible statistic. Yeah. People hang on to that 6 million mark. And you're talking 6 million podcasts worldwide?
Yeah. Total launched.
And so, and by the way, there's a lot more than 6 million people on this earth, right? We're talking billions and billions. And so, but then you're saying that only 10% of them are even active.
Yeah. So there are lots of podcasts, not a lot of people podcasting with the ing at the end. And as somebody, like I said at the beginning, I've released an episode, at least one, every single week. I've never missed a week since 2015. 0 weeks off. Zero. And
wow,
that's why I'm winning the game, because everyone else, well, 90% of everyone else stopped. And I did not. And I was terrible when I started my first show. I was terrible for the first 100 episodes of Podcasting Business School. If I just released episode 600, guess what? You do 600 of something, you get better. And
right,
that's the thing that not a lot of people realize. So that's the other side of that, should I start a podcast equation? Is it the right type of a platform for you? If you are somebody that's really, really introverted, that doesn't communicate well, I would say, you know, and you enjoy something else, you don't have to do a podcast. If you've got a killer newsletter and you got 10,000 subscribers and you're, you know, getting sponsors or converting to clients and you're enjoying that, you don't have to FOMO in fear of missing out. You don't have to FOMO in to starting a podcast because everyone else seems to be starting a podcast. You know, that's, so you don't have to do that. But if you are that person that's like, well, I don't mind being on camera or you know, speaking, and I think I could get better at it. Like, I wasn't somebody that was afraid of that. I was just terrible at it when I started. I was like, I'll get up and tell jokes.
We're our worst critics,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. So if you feel like you could potentially fall in love with this type of a platform, that's where it's got to start. Because if you don't love it, you will not continue doing it, period.
Okay. Then let me ask you this, Adam, the people that, you know, you say, okay, if you like working with people, you like maybe getting up in front of a crowd, then a podcast can definitely be for you. But I would also suggest, and I just want to get your feedback on this, if you're more introverted, if you're a little more shy, it also potentially could be for you, because then you don't have the fear of having to actually stand in front of people, but you can still get your message out there.
I 100% agree. And I've seen a lot of people, like one of my best friends and clients has a show called The Curious Introvert. Her name is Meredith Hackwith Edwards. Check out her show, The Curious Introvert. And she's in the hundreds of episodes and very high download numbers. And she's on camera. She's doing YouTube, like the whole thing. So yeah, that evolution can definitely take place. I think the one type of person that I see that really, really struggles with podcasting is the perfectionist, where they are, it's that person that has already mapped out 42 episodes. They have 12 different variations of their art, but they haven't hit the record button yet. These are what I call the podcrastinators. These are the people that have thought about launching, but they are podcrastinating. They are yet to launch after 5 years of mapping this thing out. They really struggle. So a little bit of like that, plus maybe some introvert, plus, ooh, I don't like the way my voice sounds. That's a rough place to start from. But if you're willing to put yourself out there and get some reps in, like the ideal person for me is that can really just crush it with a podcast is the entrepreneur, what I call a content entrepreneur, somebody that has an online business. They want to, use this as a platform to connect with potential clients. Like a lot of people get into it with the hopes of sponsorship and monetizing that way. And that can fade a lot. They're like, I'm going to do a show with my bros and we're going to talk about beers. And it's going to be called Beers and Bros. And we're going to get sponsors by like episode 5 and none of this happens. And then they quit by episode 10, like the stats say. But if somebody's coming in, like what I teach, this is like my wheelhouse listener avatar of like, okay, you're a coach. You are a mental health coach and you help stay-at-home moms with their mental health. Okay, we're going to create a show called Mental Health Strategies for Stay-at-Home Moms. We're going to call to that person. We're going to leverage SEO. I'm going to have you do solo episodes and coaching episodes, where solo episodes, you speak and you teach. You show off that you're an expert. Coaching episodes, we invite our listeners onto the show. We coach them for free, show off our expertise. We sell our programs, products, and services. Six-figure business. Boom. This is what I teach. So that type of a person, I feel like it's worth exploring whether a podcast is your thing. And just to put this out there, I do audio only. When I interview somebody, I like to see them on camera like we are here today with Chad.
Right.
But I don't do any YouTube. I'm on one social media channel and it's Threads, which hardly anybody even knows about. Like I like Instagram is like my stepchild that I also pay attention to. And I like put a few things on there.
Right.
But like, so my whole platform is audio only podcast once a week, newsletter once a week, and then Threads I post daily. And that is it. I'm not on TikTok. I'm not on YouTube. I'm not on Pinterest. I'm not on LinkedIn. I don't do any of this other stuff. I'm kind of an online business minimalist. So just to put that out there, because sometimes people, Chad, they think like, oh, the podcast comes with all this other stuff I've got to do. And that's not the case either.
Right. Well, and you said a lot of incredible things right there. A lot of gold was dropped there, Adam, but I want to just point out just a couple of things. First of all, you said that, like, first of all, the opportunity is huge. It's a blue ocean out there. There's great opportunity for people that want to get into podcasting, number one. Number two, you said that, you know what, the challenge that you see is with those who are perfectionists, who just can't hit the record button. But you and I were talking, and you're not only a podcasting expert, but you're a business-minded expert. I mean, you're phenomenal in business, and you get it. And I would suggest, Adam, that very principle of being a perfectionist and not hitting record not only stops you from growing in podcasting, it stops you in life. Like you, it stops you from growing a business. It stops you from being successful. It stops you from everything. Wouldn't you agree?
1,000,000%. I mean, one of my mentors in business and entrepreneurship is a guy named Dan Sullivan. Wrote a great book called 10X. Mm-hmm. It's easier than 2X. You guys should check it out. And he always talked about 80% good. Like he hammered that into my brain. Mm-hmm. If you feel like, if you can get something to the 80%, he called it the 80% rule. If you can apply the 80% rule, put it out, put the offer out, put the content out, put the podcast out, try the thing, because that's the only way you get to that last 20% is by getting feedback off of people that you're trying to impact. You can't just launch something. you know, 100% effective, and the conversions and everything happens like you expect it to. So, yeah, the 80% rule has served me really well.
Okay. So then how do you get somebody, and people listening to the show will be thinking to themselves, okay, I think I struggle with that perfectionist challenge, because I think a lot of people do. So what would you tell somebody, Adam, that's saying, listen, I know I'm struggling with this. I've been talking about, in fact, I would, you know, if we were speaking at a conference, I'd ask the people to raise their hand. But how many of you have ever said to yourself, 6 months from now, I'm not going to be where I am now, right? And then 6 months go by and you're like, no, I meant 6 months from now, right? And that's what happens with people who keep trying to be an expert or trying to produce but can't. So what would you tell that individual?
I love so much of what you just said, Chad. Like, you're hitting all my keyword hot buttons here, man. So we are talking at the end of 2025. You know, whenever this comes out, like the time reference is important here. I know there are literally millions of people, probably, I'd say at least a million people in the world that in January of this year said, this is the year I launched my podcast. And they haven't yet. It's December 17th. They have not launched it yet because of all these things we've been talking about. And hopefully 2026 is the year. Like, hopefully we get it out there. It's content creation, business, whatever. It's ready, fire, aim. It's not ready, aim, you know, and hopefully I'll eventually fire. But that happens a lot. So when I'm specifically coaching somebody with, you know, content creation and creating, like, we have to have a discovery mechanism, you know, like we got to put ourselves out there for people to find us, unless we just have a referral only business. If we are an entrepreneur, you know, it really helps to have at least one, hopefully multiple discovery mechanisms in a platform that does that. So we got to put ourselves out there. With podcasting, I try to take the pressure off of people that consume my content, that hire me for sure. Like, if somebody hires me, the first conversation I have is, hey, guess what? Good news, the first 100 episodes are practice. And so let's just start putting them out. And I said, episode one will be terrible. It won't be terrible. It'll be the most terrible version of what you eventually create. Let's put it
right,
that way.
Right, right.
Some people start off pretty darn good. They got speaking experience, but it's a different mode of communication. We got to learn that language. You're going to find your voice as a podcaster by episode 100. Only 5% of podcasters make it to episode 100. Five. So it's thin air. That's thin air, Chad.
It is. It's crazy to think about. Of 100 podcasts that are launched, five are there at episode 100.
Yes. So that's what I tell people. And we set that goal. I'm like, you are going to make it to 100 episodes. I tell my clients, especially, I'm like, you cannot allow yourself to quit until you put in your reps of 100 episodes, because you haven't even begun yet. You haven't even begun. And now I can really say that in the thousands of episodes and be like, listen, this is a fact. Like, I've lived this multiple niche opportunities over. So we take the pressure off and go, okay, we just got to start getting reps in. Like, I tell people, you know, I released Podcasting Business School episode 600 this week. And I said, please don't listen to the first 100. Please, whatever you do, do not listen to the first 100. They are not good. They are not my best stuff. Listen to anything in the last 500. Take your pick, not the first 100. And that's, so I put that out there to kind of lead by example. And that's, I hope to take the pressure off of, I've got to, like, this is my one shot. Somebody's going to find my show and listen to this magical episode, and they're going to spend thousands of dollars with me. I'm like, that's not the way it happens anyway. And one last thing the word that you said was expert. They want to, you know, show off their expert status. They want to be an expert. And a lot of people are hesitant to put their show out or put their content out there because they don't feel like an expert yet. They almost feel like that imposter syndrome, you know, like they're like, I can't do this because I haven't even accomplished anything yet. And I'm like, okay, we got this. What you're going to do, you are two steps ahead on the path of your niche than the person that's just getting started. And all I want you to do is document your journey on your show and take your audience along with you. And you will be two steps ahead of the path every single step of the way. And that develops expert position. You celebrate wins. We're honest about our losses. We unpack those. What can we learn from those? And so instead of standing up on expert mountain going, this is my stone tablet that I bestow upon you of all the rules of being an expert like me. No, we're going to go, hey, here's what I'm trying this week. Here's what worked. Here's what didn't work. And people will eat that up. Your audience will grow and they'll eventually buy from you.
That's incredible to think about, like, because people fall into that trap. And you use the word imposter syndrome, and if you've never heard that phrase before, I'm everyone's lived it, right? Everyone's lived imposter syndrome, and really overcoming that by accepting the fact that, hey, we're just gonna get out there and start running. And I love when you coach people that you help them do that. You just gotta jump, and once you jump, then you know magic happens.
Yeah. And I didn't like know any of this stuff when I started. All of these tips and things that we're talking about here today are basically screw ups that I've reverse engineered and be like, you know, I've made all the mistakes. In 1400 episodes, you make all the mistakes. I'm still making some, but they happen less frequently. But I just reverse engineer what I messed up and I go, okay, let's try this other thing instead. And when something actually works, I latch onto that. I'm like, listen, this, I've tried 12 things. This is the one thing that worked. Let's try to duplicate this with my audience. So that's, yeah, I'm not a genius or anything. I screw up the most.
Yeah, well, there's a lot. It's that self-awareness piece, right? You understand, okay, note to self, don't do that again. And so, you know, you've got this, all this knowledge, all this content, Adam, but it's been in large part because you've had a lot of notes to self, you know, never do that again. Don't make that mistake again. And then it allows you to, you know, have some incredible success. So once, Adam, once someone realizes there's opportunity there, I'm gonna just run with it. What other thoughts should they be thinking, or what process should they be going through to figure out, okay, so what do I do then? What do I do next?
Well, I think the next layer is what is the goal for you? And there's really, now we're at a fork in the road, all right? There's the entrepreneurish type of goal, and then there's the hobby type of goal. And you can always love it like a hobby. That's like kind of one of my mottos is love it like a hobby, build it like a business. But you can't, you know, you can't have business level goals and hobby level effort. Those are two different, that's different. You know what I'm saying?
Okay, wait. That is really good. I hope everyone heard that and wrote that down. You can't have business level goals and hobby level effort. Adam, I think that's one of the most critical things that happen with podcasts. Like when I see people come and leave a podcast, they have business level goals and hobby level effort. That is awesome.
Well, again, that's learned from learned experience. And like you said, we see a lot of people come and go over the years. And I mean, I'm kind of bummed. I, you know, when you start podcasting, you make a few friends, and you kind of like that graduation class, that cohort, you know, and the cohort of starting a podcast around 2015 is pretty thin. Like I'm kind of like, well, I got one or two friends that still are hanging around, but it's kind of sad, but no, it's something. So we have to decide, like, are we doing this? Why are we doing this? Why do we want to do this? And usually the people that really have that big why, it's built between some business goals. Like, I got an online business, want to get some clients. Sometimes they already have another business and maybe they want to go full time in this. That was my experience. I owned a fitness facility, like a brick and mortar, and I wanted to transition into full time online entrepreneurship, content entrepreneurship. And there's usually some element of helping people that usually makes a big difference. Like, I want to make an impact.
Right.
But also there is an element of, I love doing this. I love the potential, like, time freedom that could happen from this, or the opportunities like speaking on stages and other opportunities that unfold from this. So there has to be that passion for it as well. And that's usually the right recipe. The person that, again, tends to struggle is the beers and bros type of like hobby. And there's nothing wrong. Like, some people, this is a very fulfilling hobby and they freaking love it. And they nerd out about the tech and they have all the soundboard. And I mean, that's 100% okay. And sometimes I irritate those people with my content online. So I'm preaching, making money and doing all this stuff. And they kind of pipe up every once in a while. I'm like, listen, man, it's still okay to just have fun with it. I'm like, 100%. The issue is you are not my ideal avatar person.
Right.
You don't want to listen to my show because I don't talk about it being a hobby. This is not a hobby for me. I love it.
Right.
I'm passionate about it. But this is how I put food on my freaking kids' plates. And that is the deal. And that is the difference. So I don't take any weeks off. That's where that comes up a lot when I'm like, I release every single week, no matter what. People are like, you got to take a break or you're going to burn out. And I'm like, my kids are hungry. I got to put out content. you know, so.
Yeah, but that's a pretty great why, right? Exactly. That family, that's really driving you there. But I think you mentioned something that's super critical, is that a lot of people go into podcasting without any real goal, no real destination. What do you want to do with the podcast, right? Because you said when you work with your clients, you work through that with them. What are your goals? What do you want to accomplish with this podcast? And I would guess a lot of them at the time, Adam, are like, I don't know.
I see all the time when I'm scrolling those streets of the Threads social media app, and I see, like today, I probably saw it three times this morning, of thinking about starting a podcast in 2026. What should I talk about? I'm like, not going to make it. Not going to make it. Or the person's like, I just created a podcast. It's called Living, Loving, and Lifing. And I'm like, I have no idea what this is about. unless it's a hobby. Right? If it's a hobby, great. Go for it. But when I look at their profile and they're like, I am a blah, blah, blah coach that helps blah, blah, blah. I'm like, you're missing out. Because I have no idea. And that's, I guess, one mistake that I'd love to point out is like, not doing things that once we decide I'm in it, here's my why. I want to get clients. I want to build a business. I want to make an impact. And all those boxes are being checked. The next thing that podcasters do that just is like Lord of the Rings, Gandalf going, you shall not pass to our ideal fit listeners, is we name it with some really catchy name. The number one reason why your ideal listeners will not find you is because you got too cute, creative, and catchy with the name of your show. Because the strongest podcast SEO search bar tool we have is the name. And the strongest within the name is the first word in the name of our show. The most searched term for my ideal listener avatar is the word podcasting. Note, the first word in my show name is podcasting. That's on purpose. And the second word is business. Guess what else people are searching for on Apple and Spotify? Podcasting tips, business tips. Guess whose show pops up first? Mine. This is why I've got 1.2 million downloads. Like this is the reason. And if I name it Living, Loving, and Lifing, or like a made up word like Hustlicious, or like I see this all of the time, and people aren't leveraging that. And they go, why am I getting 4 downloads an episode? And I'm like, yeah, you know, okay. Great example, Chad. The reason, one of the reasons I tell people not to listen to the first 100 episodes of Podcasting Business School is that it was called Casting the Pod. It was named originally a play on words with zero SEO. This is the mistake that led to me learning the SEO. I'm like, it's a play on words podcast about podcasting called Casting the Pod. Ha ha ha. Nobody got it. I was doing like 40 downloads an episode for the first 100. The only thing I switched, I rebranded Podcasting Business School. I created what I call my perfect podcast naming formula. 3 rules. When I read the name, I want to know what it's about. I want to know who it's for. I want to see 2 keywords. If you can check all 3 boxes, you know, 1.2 million downloads later, was a pretty good choice. So
that three steps right there, that was huge. You got to say that again. That's phenomenal. So,
and when I
number so one,
when I search something and it's a niche related keyword to your niche, whatever it is, and your show pops up, you are not there to explain the name. When it's an inside joke, nobody found Casting the Pod because nobody got the joke. You know, like it's a catchy name, but people don't realize like, oh, they have to actually find it so the catchiness can be effective. Like if I'm speaking on a stage and Casting the Pod, go get it. Like, and I can explain it. That's one thing. But people 24/7, 365 every single night when I'm asleep are finding my show from like Australia and Germany and France because of the SEO. So the rules, number one, you got to name your show so that when I read the name, I know exactly what it is about. Number two, who is it for? Who is this for? Use a keyword that describes how your listener describes themselves. Number three, I want to see 2 keywords. So I've even got like a little fill in the blank template. Usually it's, we want to start with a keyword. So big keyword, and then like tips or strategies for a keyword plus an identifying term. So an example would be like mental health. That's a big keyword. Mental health tips for, and then we want a keyword plus identifying term, personal trainers, stay-at-home mom, solopreneurs, Christian women, you know, anything. And it makes such a huge difference. I helped one of my clients rebrand several years back, and she was in that like 40-ish download per episode. Don't remember the name of her show. Rebranded to Mental Health for Christian Women. She did over 108,000 downloads that year after doing 40 wow. an episode. So it just, it's huge. So anyway, and everybody,
and
like one thing before I forget, I've got a full episode on this. It's episode 560 of Podcasting Business School. That's like the masterclass of what we just talked about in the last like 2 minutes. It's like the 30-minute version of me going through piece by piece. So just want to drop that.
That's amazing. That's powerful. I mean, you think about just those three, you know, talk about those three things, but more in a general sense, there's opportunity, huge opportunity for people to engage in podcasting. And I think, I mean, if you really want to be successful with it, if they really want to take, like, this isn't something I just am thinking about, then take that quote that you shared, that you cannot approach it, you know, as with a business level strategy, or what'd you say?
Yeah, business level, hobby level effort and business level goals. That doesn't work.
That's so powerful. That is so powerful. Adam, what you shared, the content you shared, phenomenal. And I love that you cited episode 560, that people can go to the Podcasting Business School. That's a great name. It's phenomenal. If people know it, Casting the Pod, I mean, makes a better t-shirt for sure. But when you said Casting the Pod, I was like, oh, you did fishing shows? Yeah. You know,
I'm getting all these fishermen downloading my show. I'm like,
and they're like, wait, I just want to learn how to fish. Why am I learning about podcasting? So anyway, Adam, what's the best way for people to find you?
Oh, shoot. I mean, I would love for people to start with that episode that we talked about. Like I'm kind of a podcast first platform type of a guy. Episode 560 is a fan favorite. Really, if you are already podcasting, great, it'll change your freaking life. And if you're a little podcast curious, you know, you've been podcastinating a little bit, it'll help you with, like, if you haven't already made the mistake of a bad podcast name, this fix it before you start and then launch the dang thing. But yeah, and otherwise you can just hang out and, you know, message me and check out my world on podcastingbusiness.school. That's my website.
Oh, I love it. I love it. Adam, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time. Thanks for what you shared. So powerful. Go and find Adam Shively, Podcasting Business School. It's game changing. Thanks for being here.
Chad. Everybody listening, make sure that you hit that 5-star rating review button wherever you are paying attention to this. That's like the tip jar. If you thought that a couple of my jokes were funny or something, maybe mention my name as a favorite episode. I don't know. But hit that 5-star rating review. Put the tip in the tip jar for Chad. He's doing a great job with this show. And I'm proud of you. And I know you're going to keep going with the show. And you're going to be one of those, you know, 10% of people actually podcasting, Chad. So you're doing a good thing, man. I'm proud of you.
Oh, I appreciate it, Adam. All right, take care. Bye now.